Edwin Uzi Mendez had a very interesting past. When he was young in Chicago, he used to be a gang lord of a group called the Cobras. But eventually he had this radical conversion and he became Catholic. And eventually he developed this heart for evangelization because he had reached out to his estranged father, who was able to receive confession before he died. And so now he was part of this group called St. Paul Street Evangelization, and he's going out and evangelizing to people. So what he did was he took a table and he set up this table in the territory of another gang known as the Latin Kings. And when he had set it up there, these two thugs approached him and they said to him, "We don't need you. We're members of the biggest gang in the whole country." And then they flashed their gang signs, like Latin Kings or something like that. And then Edwin responded, "Oh yeah? I belong to the biggest gang in the whole world." And that got them thinking, what gang is that? And they wanted to know. And so Edwin flashed his gang sign. He said, "The Catholic Church." And then that really opened up doors for them. And he actually started to speak to them about our Lord's mercy and the protection of Our Lady. And obviously we're not saying that the Catholic Church is a gang, but he's using gang language, right? In a way he's speaking their language, trying to get to connect with them. And the interesting thing as well is that in gang culture, in order to get protection from another gang, you had to pay money to another gang. But what Edwin was saying is that, look, if you become part of the Catholic Church, you have the protection of our Blessed Mother, which is better than any protection at any gang that you can find in this world. And so Edwin invited these two men to go to Mass that Sunday. And after Mass, they received confession. And then that beautiful day, it was actually the day of divine mercy, where our Lord's mercy was poured out on these two thugs. Now, for most of us, we're not called to set up a table and evangelize in gang territory. But we're all reminded of our duty this Pentecost Sunday to evangelize. Pope Benedict XVI says this: "The work of evangelization is a fundamental duty and imperative upon the whole people of God. Not just me, but you guys as well." So what I want to do today is I want to share three basic keys to evangelization to help us in this call to evangelize. And for most of us, we might feel like, you know, I don't feel qualified. I feel like I need a PhD in theology in order to speak about Jesus. And so we leave the work of evangelization to others, to the priests or to the nuns. But really, at the heart of evangelization is sharing what you love. See, I really love Vietnamese beef noodle soup, or pho, as some of you guys may know. I know it might be biased because I'm Vietnamese, but it's excellent if you haven't tried it. So whenever people ask me to hang out, I'm like, "Hey, let's go for pho," right? I'm like a pho evangelizer in some ways. I can tell you why the broth is so good, or if you try this beef, it's really good, or if you try this type of hoisin sauce or that, or if you add a little bit of lime or sriracha to spice it up, it's going to be amazing. Truly, I can tell you, I have many converts. See, I don't need a PhD in pho in order to speak about my love for pho. My love for pho itself speaks to the intrinsic goodness of the Vietnamese beef noodle soup. And so this is the first key. Likewise, we don't need a PhD in theology to speak about our love for Jesus. We should not fear that we're not qualified, because what qualifies us is that we love our Lord with a genuine love. And in fact, that is what gives credibility to our message. See, the beautiful thing about this is that the more we love Jesus, the more we want to share him with others. And the more we share him with others, the more we want to learn about our faith to share him more effectively. Right? And so it's true we don't want to go around spreading heresy, but we can speak from the fullness of love of what Jesus has done for us in our life and invite them to share in that relationship too. For some of us, we may be called to evangelize in far-off territories and mission territories, but in some ways, our mission territory is right here. I can tell you right now that if we walk outside this church, we are already in mission territory. In fact, some of the best mission territory is in our relationships with our family and with our friends. But some of us may feel that it's probably easier to go into gang territory than to evangelize to our family and friends. Probably less hostile. But we got to realize that, and we heard that too, there's no prophet is accepted in his own country. But the second key is this to evangelization. Evangelization always should happen in the context of a relationship. Or ideally, it should happen in the context of a relationship. See, there's a saying that says, no one will care what you know until they know that you care. No one will care what you know until they know that you care. Right? People can tell if we're trying to sell the faith like a sleazy car salesman, or whether we genuinely care about them and their salvation and their well-being. And this happens in the context of a relationship. There's a story of this famous Catholic speaker who was reaching out thousands of people all over the world. But despite his evangelical outreach, he had a hard time reaching his son. He felt like he was losing his son. In some ways, it gives us hope that, man, even Catholic speakers have a hard time reaching their own children. And so what he began trying to do is he tried to learn about the interests of his son. And so through some forced, awkward conversations, he found out that his son was interested in heavy metal music. Now, the father was not at all interested in heavy metal music at all. But what he began doing was he bought the CDs of the band that his son liked. He started memorizing the lyrics, listening to the songs, and he even researched into like the history of the band. And finally, one opportunity came when this band was actually coming to town. And so the father bought these tickets, and he gave them to his son on the condition that, son, you can go to this concert as long as I can come with you. And so they are, you see this father and son going to this heavy metal concert. And to the surprise of his son, the father was singing or yelling or screaming, I'm not sure what he was doing, at the concert. And he was speaking knowledgeably about the band. So I'm like, whoa, what's going on? This opened doors in their relationship. And that evening after the concert, while they were eating out, the son started sharing the difficulties that were happening in his life and with his faith. And the father was able to reach into his life in a way he had never been able to do before. And now the son is attending Mass. He's more involved with his faith. He's attending a Catholic college. No one will care what you know until they know that you care. Whether it is in your family, your workplace, your spin class, your barbershop, these are opportunities for us to charitably, but also prudently, bring up the topic of faith. And it just takes some courage. I know after I was ordained a deacon, I wasn't sure if I wanted to be dressed as a deacon going to my barber. I thought she would never cut my hair again, or if she was, you know, or she'd mess up my hair. But I just took that opportunity and just wore my clerics, and then I came in and she's like, hey, Troy. And then I just started talking to her about where I work and about the church, and we just had this great conversation. So it just takes a little bit of courage to share the faith. And finally, the third key is this. We have to realize that we're not doing this on our own. We have to realize that we are the messengers of the message, but not the Lord of the message. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who will change hearts. But what we need to do is we need to cooperate with the grace of the Holy Spirit in the work of evangelization and pray for those we want to reach out to. Bishop Rob Barron was visiting a university, and on the university there's these focused missionaries who are reaching out to students. And when he got there, he asked them, well, how's everything going? And then one of the missionaries responded, well, when we first got here, we decided to identify the most influential student on campus and then pray for his conversion. And the most influential person here is the quarterback of the football team, so we've been eagerly praying for him. And Bishop Rob Barron said, oh, well, how's that working out? Well, the student responded, we've been praying for him every single day by name for 3 or 4 months now. And though we haven't got him yet, we have his roommate and his girlfriend. They both converted to the Catholic Church. We figure it's only a matter of time before God wins him over too. My brothers and sisters, today on this feast of Pentecost, We're reminded of our duty and call to evangelize, just like the apostles did, empowered by the Holy Spirit. In a way, an easy way to memorize or to summarize what we learned today is that we're called to evangelize out of love, because of love, and by the Spirit of love. We're called to evangelize out of love, out of the fullness of love we have for Jesus. It just kind of spills over, and we share that light with others. And we do it because of love, because we care about the other people and about their salvation. And we do it by the Spirit of love, because it is by the power of the Holy Spirit working through us that we can change the lives of others. And so, my brothers and sisters, I pray with you today that we ask for a renewing of the gift of the Holy Spirit that has already been given to each and every one of us, the power to reach out to other people and to evangelize just like the apostles did.